I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Barbara Klein with Explorations in VOA Special English. Today, we tell about the trade in diamonds, a worldwide business worth billions of dollars.
Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate and tease me.
The use of valuable stones like diamonds goes back thousands of years. Rulers of many ancient cultures used gemstones to show wealth and importance. Diamonds still represent power and fame. Rich and famous people around the world wear diamonds. And most women in the United States receive a diamond ring when they agree to a marriage proposal. Diamonds are mined from the earth. They are cut, made to shine, and then sold at high prices. The nation of South Africa is famous for its supply of diamonds. For generations, men have gone deep down into the earth to bring out the rough stones. It is very difficult and dangerous work. But recently, technology has helped.
Diamonds were formed millions of years ago from carbon under extreme heat and pressure more than 100 kilometers below the Earth's surface. They are found in volcanic pipes called kimberlite. The name comes from Kimberley, the place in South Africa where diamonds were found in the 19th century. The De Beers Company bought the Kimberley mine and soon became the biggest mining company in South Africa. De Beers employed thousands of workers there. In the late 20th century, it improved working conditions and offered miners a share of the company's profits.
All over the world, valuable stones are mined from deep in the ground, from areas near rivers or coasts, and in open gravel pits. Botswana is now the largest diamond producer in Africa. The stones are also mined in Angola, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Namibia, and Sierra Leone. Other major diamond-producing nations include Australia, Canada, and Russia. De Beers still controls half of the world's diamond production. Most of their rough stones are sent to the company's headquarters in London to be sold to a few dealers. But independent buyers are also part of the process.
1 million people work in the diamond industry in India. Shrenuj and Company is one of the main diamond factories in the city of Mumbai. Workers cut and shine or polish gemstones there. Most of the world's diamonds, mostly small stones, are polished in India. The diamonds are examined and sorted by color. The most valued color has really no color. Experts make the rough diamonds appear larger with the help of computers so they can see how best to cut them. Diamonds are the hardest natural material. Only a diamond can cut another diamond. So diamond cutters use diamond dust on a device called a polisher's wheel. It is difficult work. One wrong move and a stone can break. Sanjay Kamni has been performing this work for years. He says he has to be very careful while working with the stones.
The history of valuable gems in India goes back many centuries. Sanjay Kothari heads India's Gem and Jewelry Export Promotion Council. He says India has valued diamonds, jewelry, and gold since the 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries. Gems became big business in India in the 1950s and 60s. Mr. Kothari says diamond exports from India last year were worth $20 billion.
Halfway across the world, Antwerp, Belgium is the world's largest diamond trading center. Philip Kloss is Secretary General of the Antwerp World Diamond Center.
80% of all rough diamonds are traded in Antwerp, and 50% of all polished diamonds worldwide are traded in Antwerp. In figures, it means that we have a turnover here in Antwerp of more than $40 billion each year.
Antwerp has more than 1,800 diamond companies. That is why George Reed comes to the city. He is Senior Vice President with Shore Gold, a diamond mining company in Canada. He goes to Antwerp to have his diamonds revalued.
Diamonds are weighed and valued in carats. 1 carat equals 200 milligrams. In addition to carat weight and color, a gemstone's value is based on its clearness and cut, the shape of the polished stone. Antwerp once had about 25,000 people working as diamond cutters and polishers. Now only a few hundred remain. Belgian cutters lost their jobs to workers in India because they are paid less.
International trade in diamonds is worth an estimated $80 billion a year. This has helped some countries develop economically. It has provided jobs for workers in some of the world's poorest countries. However, the diamond trade has also been used to support wars, frighten civilians, and keep dictators in power.
The diamond mines in South Africa are clean. Machines are used to help the workers. But this is not true in other parts of Africa. More than 1 million people search for diamonds in Africa. They dig in pits and near rivers by hand. They earn less than $1 a day. In recent years, armed militias and rebels in some countries used diamonds to pay for civil wars. Thousands of civilians were killed and injured in conflicts in places like Angola, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Sierra Leone. So these gems are called conflict diamonds or blood diamonds.
Global Witness was one of the first non-governmental organizations to call attention to the issue. Annie Dunaback says the group's goal was to show the tragedy of conflict diamonds. She says Sierra Leone was one of the worst cases. Hundreds of thousands of people died as a result of the country's civil war in the 1990s. Rebels cut off the arms and legs of innocent people and forced children to fight. The Revolutionary United Front controlled the eastern part of Sierra Leone. This is where the diamond fields are. The diamonds were an economic reason for the war to continue. Efforts to report the link between the war and the diamonds were successful.
2 years ago, the movie Blood Diamond helped bring more attention to the situation. The movie takes place during the Civil War in Sierra Leone. Leonardo DiCaprio plays a man who sells arms to the rebels in exchange for diamonds. He is involved in a chase for a rare and valuable pink diamond. But in the end, he gives up the diamond, fights off the rebels, and helps others learn about the illegal trade. Global Witness was an advisor on the film. Annie Dunaback says it influenced public opinion.
I think that bringing the message in sort of Hollywood terms to a much wider audience than possibly our reports get to, it does have value.
International pressure made the diamond industry take action in an effort to prevent the trade in blood diamonds. In 2003, the Kimberley process was established. It requires member governments to prove that exports and imports do not include blood diamonds. Tom Tweedy is a spokesman for De Beers, the world's largest producer of rough diamonds. He says the Kimberley process is a good step forward.
We have a system, and however imperfect it may be, it is probably the only comprehensive system of its type in the world.
Philip Kluss of the World Diamond Center says conflict diamonds represented 4 to 15% of rough diamonds traded worldwide before the Kimberley process. Today, he says, conflict diamonds represent only 0.2% of rough diamonds traded worldwide. However, Annie Dunaback says some diamonds are being moved illegally between African countries.
Experts say diamonds are not the only valuable gems that are linked to trouble in the world. For example, more than 90% of the world's rubies come from Burma. The military government controls the sale of the country's gems. This trade helps keep the government in power. Human rights activists are working to increase restrictions against Burmese rubies. Activists are hoping that people will start to ask more questions about the jewelry they buy.
This program was written by Sonia Pace and adapted by Shelley Gullist. Our producer was Mario Ritter. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Barbara Klein. You can download audio and read scripts on our website, voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for Explorations in VOA Special English.